John, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too. Now, just first off, how did we start with the 40-hour work week?
Well, look, there's been a long struggle in Australia and internationally to put in place a shorter working week. Excessive hours were part of workplace culture in Australia and internationally in the wake of the Industrial Revolution, where exploitation was pretty rife. And so you saw the rise of trade unionism on the back of addressing these concerns and a campaign for the 40-hour working week, which ultimately resulted in a successful outcome through the Arbitration and Conciliation Commission at that time, and setting the standard not only for working hours but also for conditions and a wage that was suitable to support a family.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of benefits, though, are there for working a 4-day working week rather than our current 40-hour work week?
Well, it would certainly focus attention on the health and psychological benefits of a shorter working week. We have a culture of excessive working hours in Australia, particularly amongst middle managers, and also some segments of the workforce that historically have worked very long hours, like doctors and some professionals. And we know from a body of research that's been undertaken for many years that this is very damaging to your physical and your psychological health. And so a 4-day working week would begin to focus our attention on the benefits of that. And there are experiments going on with shorter working hours all over the world, particularly in Scandinavia. And the results of that, of those practices in other parts of the world, suggest to us that overwhelmingly there would be great health and social benefits associated with the shorter working week.
But so wouldn't a 4-day working week just cause extra stress because we're trying to fit the 5 days work into 4, though?
Well, we already have practices called compressed working hours where people opt to work existing hours in a 4-day week. Now, that works for some people, but not all. The idea of a permanent long weekend is very attractive to all of us, particularly if you're on holidays at the moment. And so the idea of having more leisure time, I think, is very, very attractive. So it needs to be implemented carefully so as not to end up with people working excessively long hours on the 4 days that they might be working. So we do need to look at possibly a shorter working week, the 35-hour working week, or even shorter, which some nations have looked at. France experimented with this some years ago. So there's an ongoing debate around what might be the optimum number of hours per week, but this is sharpened, I think, by a problem we have in Australia at the moment. That is, we've got a large group of people working excessive hours, and we've got a large number of people working short hours. That is, that they prefer to work more hours. So we have a high level of underemployment in Australia and most states. And so it is a good time for us to think about how we might share the work around more amongst those who need it.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're talking to John Spear, Director of the Australian Industrial Transformation Institute at Flinders University, about whether the 40-hour working week is still relevant to our constantly evolving workforce. John, with more automation in the workforce now, do you think that this kind of helps to justify a 4-day week?
Well, there's been a big debate over the last couple of years about the potential impact of automation and robotics on employment, and in particular whether or not it would result in a significant reduction in employment in Australia. And the early claims were that somewhere around 40% of jobs in Australia were vulnerable to automation given existing technologies. Now, more recent research has suggested that things don't look nearly as dire as that, which would be a great relief to many of your listeners. So it's more likely that somewhere between 8, 9, 10% of jobs are vulnerable to significant dislocation as a consequence of existing technologies. Now, if that proves to be the case, then we do need to put in place ways of sharing around the existing hours of work over the next 10 years. So it would be a sensible strategy to introduce at a time when we can expect that digital technologies are going to have a transformative impact one way or another on our workplaces.
And just kind of as a final point, John, how do you think that a four-day working week would impact the size and nature of Australian workforces? When I ask that, I mean, are we looking at people being at more risk of losing their jobs, or would the need to fit more work into fewer days mean more jobs opening up? So what are we looking at here?
Well, the critical thing is that the take-home pay of workers who are working shorter hours isn't significantly impacted by that change. We have to have a national consensus around that. Now, if that's the case, then what you find is that people's take-home pay will translate into economic activity in a whole range of sectors where they're spending during their leisure time, and in particular in the services sector, tourism sector, restaurants, clothing and entertainment and so on. So there would be positive impacts for those sectors of people having more leisure time. So it's a question of carefully managing it, having a national strategy in place and also having a consensus around the benefits of this going forward as a response to technological change, but also the reality that a large proportion of people remain underemployed in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us on the show and giving us your insight into this. We really appreciate it.
That's a pleasure.
Thank you.